from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll find out what's coming up for the Hendrix Symphonic Society.
I'll get a preview of this year's Indie Sister Cities Fest.
And I'll find out why a band called Matthew Street is, yeah, playing at the Phoenix Theater. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. As soon as you hear Hendrix Symphonic Society music director Benjamin Delvecchio, you'll know he's not from Indiana. But as Sharon Gamble recently discovered, this well-traveled musician finds the Heartland a great home. Maestro Delvecchio and cellist and past board chair Len Cheatham joined Sharon for this conversation.
Maestro, you have had an amazing career, are still having an amazing career. How did you end up in the Midwest?
Well, I had gotten a communication from Dean Bain to come to IU and teach and work on my doctorate back in the 60s, and that's what got me here, and I never left.
So, for people who just in that short sentence figured out you're an East Coast fella, where's home originally?
Boston.
Yeah.
And my family are all Italian immigrants and lived in the Boston area.
And yet you found Boston and Indianapolis in, when did you come to Bloomington?
1968.
Boston and central Indiana, very different places. Was there something about the Midwest that you said, hey, you know, there's opportunity here, we like the lifestyle? Or?
Well, I loved Bloomington. I mean, Bloomington is kind of a cosmopolitan place. There's as much music as you find there anywhere, the largest music school in the world. And I really enjoyed the kind of intellectual stimulus. Someone then offered me a job in northern Indiana, and from there it's just been, never left.
One thing after another. Yeah. So why did you found the Hendrix Symphony?
Well, this is our eighth season. Back in, 07, somebody said, can we do a Messiah? We want you to conduct a Messiah. And can we get some singers together? And I thought, well, if we're going to get some singers, maybe we should see if we can get some instrumentalists. And we auditioned a couple of hundred people and put together an orchestra and a chorus and did four concerts that season. And from then on, it has grown.
Do you have a pretty stable roster of instrumentalists? Let's talk just about instruments for a moment.
If pretty much so, yes. Yeah. I mean, our principal players have been with us for a few years. There's always some fluctuation because almost everybody is volunteer in our group.
Right.
But we've got some fine players, and probably this is the nicest group I've ever worked with.
Wow. That's quite an accomplishment.
Well, don't tell them. As long as they don't know this, the next rehearsal, so I can still yell.
And it just strikes me that where you are located, because the population has been growing so fast, that not only do you have a source for lots of new audience members, but you have a source for new performers as well.
We do, although I have to say the orchestra members come from pretty far locations. I mean, when you're going after specific jobs like first oboe or something, your talent pool is limited. We have people from Anderson, Muncie. Actually, we have one lady who comes from Evansville every week to rehearsal, and that is
that's commitment.
Yeah, that's a drive. We have a bunch from Terre Haute, Greencastle, Franklin, Greenwood. They come from all over, and I'm just really delighted that they do.
So, Len, a big part of making any arts organization successful is to have a strong board. What inspired you to get involved?
We were at Steak and Shake one night.
Uh-oh.
And they said, we would like you to join the board. And I said, okay.
Now, wait a minute. Okay, so there's more to that story.
He said, how hard can it be?
No, that was for the treasurer job. I was already on the board.
Okay.
And they asked me to become the treasurer. And I made that famous comment,
How hard could it be? So what inspired you to get involved in the board in the first place? Are you a musician yourself?
Yes. Yes, I'm principal cellist in the orchestra.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. I thought there was more to the story. I thought so.
But I'm the type of player that's just leave me alone. I don't want to be involved.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a minute. The chromosomes that fire up as a musician are very different from those that fire up as a treasurer and then later as a board chair.
Yes. I can't say that I have those genes,
okay.
But I've done the best I can, and I've had a lot of help. Could have done a lot better job, but, you know, it is what it is. I wasn't born to be a board member. I was born to be a cellist, so that's the way I look at it.
But, you know, I suspect that most of your fellow board members are quote-unquote civilians, and you can explain things from a musical perspective to them.
Well, no, they're almost all of them are musicians.
Okay,
I think there's one that's not.
When you have musicians, and musicians want to play music, but at some point they realize if they don't help to get the mechanics going, we won't have anywhere to play
right.
music. And so we have some wonderful people who volunteer to serve on the board. Yeah.
That's a real commitment. I mean, not that just performing, quote-unquote, isn't a huge commitment, but then figuring out how are we going to get the money, how are we going to get the people in the audience, because, you know, you've got to pay rent or work out an arrangement to get your venue, and then just getting people in. How do most people find out about you?
Well, of course, like everybody, we have a website and we have newsletters and we, you know, stuff in the local newspapers and getting on community calendars and schedules. We try to do what I call inventive program. I mean, one year I did a tour of Europe and each concert was from a different country. This year it's the elements. The first concert, we're going to do Wagner's Ring in an hour and a half. I will have to conduct very fast. that's called Fire. And so that's the ring. And then the second one is Earth, and it's a salute to veterans. So it's somewhat patriotic. Then Ice is the Christmas concert, and Water is, well, you know, Sorcerer's Apprentice and stuff like that. And then
sure.
the last one is Wind, the Zephyrs of Spring. So, I mean, that's the hook. And this year we've instituted something new. We have a talent showcase. So we have actually 10 concerts, 5 of them in our subscription series and 5 free, which we give at Bartlett Chapel. It's all on our website. But Len is going to do a recital at one of them. My assistant's going to do a piano recital. We do a chamber concert. So, I mean.
And you work with students. You do some side-by-side work with students.
We do side-by-side with students, and we almost always go into the schools. Our people who all work take a half a day off, and we do 2 concerts in one of the school systems. I think we're going to do the same thing this year. We're working on scheduling now. You know. We did, a couple of years ago, we did Peter and the Wolf, and we had a real wolf, which was kind of cool.
I'm so sorry I didn't see that.
Oh, well, it was really fun because the wolf was huge. And I had to, of course, meet him and give him wolf dog chow beforehand. So I'm standing.
Lest he eat your principal cellist.
Right. Yes. So I'm standing there in front of these 1,000 kids in the bleachers in a gymnasium because we want them real close. And I, you know, the flute plays this and the clarinet does this. I said, now the French horns play the wolf. And as the French horns are playing the wolf theme, in walks the guy with the wolf. And I hear, from all these kids, you know. And the wolf then stands up on his hind legs and puts his front paws on the handler's knee, and he starts sniffing the kids.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I got another, ooh, you know. They talked about that for a while.
Classical,
you know?
Music just got both hip and dangerous to a whole bunch of young people. You might have to do that again.
Well, the wolf guy still has the wolf, so we may do that again.
So speaking of working with wild animals, you work a lot with singers.
I can't stand it. Okay. Yes, and actually we're singing some Wagner. We have 3 singers for the first concert, The Ring. We're going to kind of try to tell the story with some excerpts, obviously.
Sure.
I can't conduct that fast, even I can't.
Yeah, no.
But I have 3 wonderful singers. One is from IU, who's going to sing Votan, and Gina Walker is local, and David Manel teaches in Terre Haute, I think, but he's also local, and they're going to sing Brunhilde and Siegfried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, So we get to do some of the, you know, I love working with singers. I love doing opera. Opera for me is great fun. A few years ago, we did William Tell. Not the whole opera, but we did like selected choruses and, mm-hmm. and solos and told a story. It took a half a concert, maybe did it in like 40 minutes. That was a really good way to introduce people. Most people know a number. Everybody knows the overture. And,
sure.
You know, and so you could introduce an opera. And William Tell is like 4 hours long. It's very long. It's really done. So it was a good chance to do it, you know.
Oh, you get whet people's appetite.
Yeah,
make them
exactly.
want to go find a recording or go to YouTube or it, maybe the next time it's performed yeah, at
that's
full
right.
length, they go down to IU to see it or whatever. Do you do anything – I'm asking this to both of you, Maestro, you as a conductor first. Do you do anything differently when you're talking with singers as opposed to people whose instrument isn't inside their body?
I don't think really. I mean, yeah, yes, it's different when your instrument's inside your body, but a musician is a musician, you know. There's an old story at the conservatory where they had a placement where you could get like weekend jobs when I was an undergrad student.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the placement office came in one day and he said, I got this call from somebody who had a nightclub. And he said, I want some musicians. And I said to him, do you want instrumentalists or vocalists? And he said, I want musicians, not vocalists. And But you know, those are the old jokes. Those days don't apply. The singers are just as good musically, and they have training that maybe didn't exist 50 years ago. I don't know. I'm old, so I know these things. You know?
and lest singers are fuming right now, that was just a joke when I said, speaking of wild animals.
Yes,
but,
yes, it was a joke.
And it's surprising how often you see in print, though, things written by people who aren't music journalists, but who say the program includes, you know, 30 musicians and 3 singers. And I always want to say, why do you think those singers are any less musicians than the people with a clarinet or a cello?
We have a symphonic choir, and they're just wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they sing with musicianship. They blend. They're great fun.
Sure. Len, as an instrumentalist, do you listen differently when you're involved in a performance where there's a soloist or a chorus?
Oh, yes. You have to balance. You don't want to cover. Cellos are not usually accused of covering anybody, but we do need a balance. Sometimes when there's a singer or violinist that's playing a solo, we must be quiet. We must be pianissimo. Mm-hmm.
But they need plenty of room for their bows, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
Well, there's a story. I could tell by the way you just looked at each other.
I often bring a yardstick to rehearsals and make sure there's 3 feet on either side of his chair so that he has
like
sufficient.
5 feet on each side.
Make sure a soprano isn't suddenly going to have a bruise on the back of her knee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
Got it. Makes good sense. What are you most looking forward to, and again, a question for each of you, what are you most looking forward to on this upcoming season?
Oh, I have to say something.
Okay.
There's all kinds of stuff. The Wagner concert coming up with the selections from the Ring, it's absolutely the best of the best. It's great stuff. Nothing is boring here. His tempos are always brisk. So it's a wonderful, going to be a wonderful experience. I'm looking forward to playing the Corelia Suite coming up in the spring concert. Also, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, which I've found, I've played that before, one of the most difficult pieces for a string player, especially a cellist.
Yes.
It's a great piece of music, but it's a smacker.
You're all up and down that,
yes.
Mm-hmm. The keyboard.
And then the Moldau from Bedřich Smetana's Ma Vlast, My Country. That's a great piece. And many others. It's just going to be lots of fun. That's one of the reasons I'm in this orchestra. I could tell before I even met the maestro, I talked to him on the phone, the types of repertoire he was doing. I said, I got to be involved with these guys.
Resonated with you.
They're doing the entire symphony. They don't do selections. They do everything.
We are also doing, for example, at our patriotic or whatever veterans concert, we're doing something called The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace by Carl Jenkins, and it is absolutely beautiful music, and it was written, I guess, in honor of the Kosovo veterans. We're not doing the whole of it. We're doing selections from it, you know, which is, again, something different.
And something that most of your players won't have experienced before.
Yes. So, I mean, I try to mix stuff they all know. Yeah. You know, we're doing the Stars and Stripes Forever on that program, but we're also doing the Mass for Peace. We're doing a Rodrigo piece. I'm not sure whether we do Concerto de Arrhenius or the Fantasia for a Gentleman, and Petar Yankovic
from IU
is going to play guitar on that
one. I hate to have to choose between those. They're both gorgeous.
They're gorgeous pieces.
Yeah.
He decided that if we're taking that into the school, we should do the Concerto de Arrhenius because it's better for the kids, and if not, we'll do the Fantasia if we're not taking that piece into the school. So I'm still working on scheduling our school concert. No.
Sharon Gamble with Hendrix Symphony Music Director Benjamin Delvecchio and cellist Len Cheatham. Learn more about their season, The Elements, at hendrixsymphonic.org. Again, that's hendrixsymphonic.org. The first concert is September 19th at the Plainfield High School Auditorium.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. The Indie Sister City Fest is a free annual event that celebrates international cultures by highlighting Indianapolis's sister cities around the world. This year, it takes place on Saturday, September 6th, on Georgia Street, downtown, from noon to 5 p.m. Travis DiNicolo spoke with Una Hartzell-Baird about the fest.
I want to welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me, Travis.
So the third year for the Sister City Fest should be a lot of fun. It's been great the past couple of years. Before we jump into talking about the festival itself, tell me a little bit about the Sister City program.
So the Sister Cities program comes through the Mayor's Office of International and Cultural Affairs, and it's set up to really showcase how Indianapolis is a global city by bringing in sister cities that have something in common with us. For mm-hmm. example, if there's an aspect to manufacturing or economics or social structure like sports or entertainment, we find these cities to have these sister city relationships with, and then find opportunities to showcase them and showcase how international Hoosiers are.
So what's an example of a sister city?
So we have eight of them.
Eight. Goodness, that's a lot of sisters.
It is. And the goal is really to expand, I believe, up to 12.
Okay.
So one of the sister cities that's pretty close to me is Piran, Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm originally from Sarajevo, Bosnia, so that is the closest sister city to my native country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one that I'm quite fond of.
How do these sister cities get selected? I mean, is it a committee? Is it different people? Or how do they choose that? I mean, how do these things sort of evolve?
It's the mayor's office initiative. So it just depends on what they're looking for in terms of connections, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's economic or social or cultural. And the sister cities, there's a national initiative as well.
Okay.
And so we're looking at, you know, what are the sister cities that are...
So cities that are interested are sort of like in a database and people sort of pick and choose. It's not like they are applying to be Indianapolis's sister or...
There's a variety of options there. And the way we're really looking at, or the mayor's office is really looking at, you know, what's going to be a good connection for them in terms of for us as well as the other city and who's interested and things like that. So
this is just a strange little question, but are any of our sister cities sisters with each other?
That's a good question. I actually don't have the answer to that.
That'd be kind of fun. Sort of an extended family.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the Sister City Festival is a great free international festival celebrating our sister cities and really international culture, international food, arts, entertainment. It's just a fun event. As I said, it's happened the past couple of years. Looking forward to the mm-hmm. third one coming up on the 6th of September at Georgia Street again, which is where it was last year.
Yes.
So what can people expect?
So from noon until 5, we're going to have a couple of different stages for entertainment. There will be community groups coming in that do traditional dances from their countries. There will be musicians. There's an acclaimed accordion player that's coming to mm-hmm. be part of the Sister City Piran booth. I believe we are on board to have llamas back this year. Quite popular.
Yeah.
So there'll be a ton of food vendors so people can go and visit and try different foods. Nothing is duplicated. So mm-hmm. we worked really hard to find a food vendor for each type of sister city that we have so people can experience the flavors cool. of those cultures as well. And then lots of information, lots of kids activities. There'll be a kids zone. 7 world sports are represented. And we're hoping to beat our attendance of 4,500 from last year.
Excellent, excellent. Now, so what are the countries or cities that are represented so people can maybe get a sense of what sort of food and activities are going to be there?
Sure. So the 8 sister cities are Taipei, Taiwan, Cologne, Germany, Monza, Italy, Peron, Slovenia, Hangzhou, China, Campinas, Brazil, Northamptonshire County, UK, and Hyderabad, India.
Wow, that's quite a big variety.
It is. It is. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool. Very cool. And so tell me about some of the vendors and the entertainment throughout the day that we can expect to see.
Sure. So we are going to have food vendors there. Fogo de Chao is one mm-hmm. of the big food vendors that will be there, as well as Rolling Asian Delight, which is a local food truck. Little Philly's Italian Ice and Formosa Seafood Buffet will also be represented. Some of the awesome sponsors that this would not be possible without are, of course, Nouveau, the International Center. Mm-hmm. Indie Parks is a part of the Sister Cities Fest as well, in addition to IUPUI, Indie 11, and everybody's favorite, Sun King Brewing.
Of course.
There will be a beer tent there for all of our local beer lovers.
Excellent.
So you can come and enjoy Sun King as well. And we'll have a variety of cultural groups. There's a large Burmese community that they'll be out and doing some of their traditional dances as part of the entertainment. We'll have several local bands playing across the stage. So there will be things that are more traditional to the sister cities, but there'll be some things that are traditional to Indianapolis as well.
Very cool. Yeah, the entertainment the past couple of years has just been exceptional. It's always fun to see different musicians from different countries or different styles of music as well and stuff. People certainly enjoy that very much. This is an outdoor event, so rain or shine, right?
Yes, rain or shine, we will be there.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, the food.
Yes.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Saturdays are the days I reserve to eat absolutely anything, no holds barred. And so I'm looking forward to trying a little bit of everything from each of the food vendors.
Very good. Very good. And again, this is a free event. Are people RSVPing or?
Yes. So you have the ability if you're an Eventbrite user,
mm-hmm.
if you'd like
yeah.
to go on an RSVP, it gives us an idea of how many people we can expect.
Sure.
It's not mandatory or necessary. It's a family-friendly event. So if you want to bring the entire family or you're involved in Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts and want to bring your troop or pack, whatever you want to do, it's an open street fair. So it's going to be a wonderful time for the whole family.
And is there a schedule online or on social media that people can find? Or is that coming out later? Or what, as far as you know, entertainers and stuff like that?
There will be things posted on the mayor's website,
mm-hmm.
and the easiest way to get there is www.indy.gov/globalindie.
Okay.
And, of course, we are doing tons of things on social media. So with Facebook, we're on facebook.com/global.indie.
Very good. Very good. Well, it sounds like it's just going to be a fantastic day. Lots of fun, lots of good food, lots of good music, and from all around the world. No brothers, sisters, or brothers, though, just sisters, right?
You know, there's that alliteration to sister
the
cities.
Sister city thing.
It's a little bit of mouthful to say brother cities.
Very good. Well, Una, thank you so much for coming into Are the Matter today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Travis DiNicola with Una Hartzell-Baird. The Indy Sister City Fest takes place on Saturday, September 6th on Georgia Street downtown from noon to 5 p.m. Get more information at indy.gov, indy.gov.
Hey, Sharon.
Yes, Travis.
You know what this weekend is?
It's Labor Day weekend.
It's Labor Day. So what are you going to be working at?
I'm going to be, yeah, working on, I was listening to The Splendid Table a few days ago. Actually, it's been a couple of weeks ago now. But I heard this fabulous road food feature about restaurants that serve chicken that's first lightly battered and fried and then at the last minute dipped in boiling barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
So I'm on a mission to recreate that kind of recipe because, you know, it's Labor Day weekend.
You got a grill.
Last chance
or
to make something delicious. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that sounds good. Okay. Yeah. Well, if we're talking about chickens boiling in barbecue sauce or interesting things, we'll make sure we include them on that calendar we call.
What do we do?
You open
Cock-a-doodle do free edition.
Well, if you are looking for something to do for this Labor Day weekend, then you might want to head up to Broad Ripple Park because that's where Warm Fest is going on all weekend long. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You can buy tickets for the day, tickets for the whole thing. Lots of bands, including the Reverend Payton's Big Damn Band, which is Indiana's own and always a lot of fun. Also the bands of Montreal, that indie pop band that's not from Montreal at all. They're from Athens, Georgia. And Big Head Todd and the Monsters, Chris Robinson Brotherhood, Mute Math with some cool sort of fusing together music like New Order and Stone Roses and Guided by Voices from Dayton, Ohio.
Love Guided by
Voices. Oh, yeah, a lot of great bands. It just keeps on going on and on. They've got a really great lineup. Friday, it's from 6 till 10. Saturday and Sunday, noon to 10. And Monday, 10 to 6 p.m. It is all at the Broad Ripple Park and Broad Ripple Avenue. And again, you can get tickets for single days or for the whole weekend or VIP passes or whatever you want. They also have some other cool things going on. I do want to mention, Sharon, they have river cruises and river sessions with riverboat cruises featuring live music and going up and down the White River. And they've also got yoga and Zumba and all sorts of other fun, healthy activities. And I'm sure some non-healthy activities, too, and some food trucks as well.
Okay, so I have fun of a different nature. If you like to polka, and you know who you are, if you like to polka, a polka tune just popped into your head right then. You can polka the night away at this year's Free Polka Jam, which is Friday the 29th. In Hawville at the Slovenian National Home, 2717 West 10th Street, easy to get to. It's this Friday, and if you're hearing me on Saturday, I'm sorry you missed it, but this Friday, 5 o'clock to, till the band gets tired and your feet won't polka anymore. There's a spaghetti buffet for a $5 donation, cold beer or beverage of your choice ready to purchase. And the polka jammers are playing. And if you're thinking, I've always wanted to learn how to do the polka, just go. Somebody will teach you.
Someone will always teach you.
Someone will always teach you the polka.
Or at least they will claim they can teach you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, if you did not get enough magic at Fringe, then maybe you want to go check out Indie Magic Monthly because they do a monthly show. That's why they call it Indie Magic Monthly.
What?
And it's, yes,
I'm shocked.
Shocked. And it's always at Theater on the Square on Tuesday nights. And the next one is on Tuesday, September 2nd at 7:30. The doors open at 7:15. Lobby opens at 7 o'clock. And for their 77th Indie Magic Monthly Show, that's right, 77, that Taylor Martin's been organizing. We've got a couple returning performers and a new one as well. They have the recent winner of the Abbott's Get Together Stage Contest from Cincinnati, Ohio, Sir Pat Trick.
I get it.
There you go. And then also the amazing Matthew David Stanley from Dayton, Ohio, and from Louisville, Uncle Red Harris, who does a very family-friendly, fun show. So these three magicians will be performing at Indie Magic Monthly, show edition number 77 on Tuesday, September 2nd, at Theater on the Square on Mass Ave.
Hey, you know, Labor Day is a uniquely American conception from the beginning, and you might be flying a flag this weekend. I have a concert you might enjoy to kind of continue that patriotic feeling. It is the United States Marine Band, which will be at Clues Hall on Sunday, September 7th at 3 o'clock. The concert's free and open to the public, but you do need to get a ticket. They're just doing this for crowd control. Tickets are available at the Clues Hall box office, and you can get more information by calling 317-940-6444, 317-940-6444. And there's a new music faculty member at Butler who's connected to the U.S. Marine Band. You'll learn more about that on a future edition of The Art of the Matter.
It sounds very cool. Mm-hmm. You know what next weekend is, Sharon?
The weekend after Labor Day?
That's right.
Oh, Penrod Arts
Penrod.
Fair.
Penrod's indeed. Going on next weekend. And even though we will not be doing a live broadcast, of course,
so
we love
sad.
Penrod. But this will give us more time to check out all the art this year, Sharon,
indeed,
which will be a lot of fun.
Indeed, it's true.
And if you want to check out Penrod, you might want to also consider doing the evening with Penrod at the IMA. It's the pre-party that they just started doing last year. So they're doing it again on Friday night before Penrod. So Friday the 5th. From 6:30 to 10 p.m., it is a exclusive preview of the Penrod Arts Fair on the grounds of the IMA with lots of food and drink. And you can check out the IMA's website for more information about that, or just show up at Penrod on the 6th because it goes on all day long.
It does indeed. I like the way you say that.
Mm-hmm.
All day long. Hey, another beautiful green space at Garfield Park, and you'll hear more about this with an interview coming up in the future. But pencil out on your calendar Saturday, September 13th from 3 to 7:30 for an event called Fountain Fest, and it helps raise money for the
Fountain Fest.
It helps raise money for the restoration of the sunken garden and fountains at Garfield Park.
Oh, of course.
Uh-huh. And you may have been reading about the progress, these beautiful fountains that were really kind of revolutionary when they were put in a century ago, and they've, of course, deteriorated over the years, but they're getting all fixed up with colored lights and beautiful patterns and so forth. This is family-friendly. Children 12 and under are free. In case you need a child 12 and under, you can go get one at Fountain Fest. No, I don't think that's how that works. But there'll be food trucks on site, and Kathy Morris, Free But Not Cheap, and Filter Kings will all be performing. So that's coming up Saturday the 13th from 3 to 7:30.
Oklahoma. How's that?
I wonder what you were preparing to do over there, streaming down the plane.
I love Oklahoma ever since I performed in it in high school.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. How can you not love it? Beef and Boards is doing it. Beef and Boards Dinner Theater is bringing Oklahoma to Indianapolis, where everything's up to date. Or is that Kansas City? Well, whatever. But anyway, you know, so it's running now through October 5th. Up at Beef and Boards. It is that wonderful Rodgers and Hammerstein collaboration. In fact, their first collaboration ever. And there's so many fun pieces of music in it and great characters. Like, you know, there's of course Oklahoma and then Surrey with the Fringe on top. Mm-hmm. And Oh, What a Beautiful Morning and I Can't Say No. And it just goes on and on and on. Well, they will be singing it at Beef and Boards through October 5th.
How come nobody's written a musical called Indiana?
There we go.
I think we need to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the Indiana State Museum is announcing that they're accepting applications for the 2015 Indiana Art Fair. This is your chance if you're an art fair junkie and in the winter you're like, oh, now what do I do? Remember, the Indiana State Museum has been doing this fabulous indoor art fair for a long time. It's going to take place on Friday, February 13th and Saturday, Valentine's Day, February 14th. Why am I telling you about it now? Because I want you to, if you're an artist, apply for it or tell the artists in your life to apply for it. And they would especially like to encourage some new artists to apply. You can get more information. Are you ready? This is long. IndianaMuseum.org/events/details/ID/1617. Wow. One more time.
That's a lot of slashes.
IndianaMuseum.org/events/details/ID/1617. Or you could probably call their switchboard and get to someone who can tell you more.
That sounds pretty cool. Hey, something else that starts next weekend, but we've already been talking about on Art of the Matter, is, of course, the International Violin Competition of Indianapolis.
That's right.
And something new that they are doing this year is opening on next Friday, September 5th, a special art exhibit tied to the violin competition at the Raymond James Stutz Arts Gallery. And it is an exhibit that features photographs from the world of violin making by artist Todd Mattis. Photography and the Violin, again, opening on September 7th, and so looking at art making and violin making and careers of local master violin maker and artist Todd Mattis, and a lot of big large format photographs and some really neat photographs of his travels in Europe. And it just should be a really interesting show. The first Friday opening for that is from 5 to 9 at the Stutz. And if you want to swing by there on Tuesday, September 16th, from 4 to 9, there may be some violinists playing there as well, who will then be there throughout the evening, too.
Nice.
Check it out. Yeah.
Very nice. If you're listening to us on Saturday morning and you're thinking, I'm going to go get another cup of coffee, and I really should get on my bike and ride down to the local farmer's market, but I'm feeling a little lazy today. Hey, here's your plan B. The JCC Farmers Market is on Sundays from 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon through October 26. It's billed as the only regular Sunday Farmers Market. Do not take your dog. I know you want to. And Travis, don't take any of those. How many cats?
We don't talk about it on the air, Sharon.
Okay. but there is free parking. There's also public restrooms. And if you haven't been to the JCC, it's a great chance to just see all the wonderful amenities they offer. So JCC Farmers Markets on Sundays from 10 to 1 through October 26th.
Very cool. Hey, last thing I have is just checking out what's going on at the Jazz Kitchen this weekend, including on Sunday Summer Nights with Kevin Anker, and that is from 4 to 9. And then on Monday, they are doing a Labor Day street fair throughout the day with lots of jazz all day long at the Jazz Kitchen. Should be a lot of fun.
Indeed. Speaking of music, my last item, if you love drummers, you know the name Kenny Aronoff, who's played with John Mellencamp, John Fogerty, some people not called John, like Smashing Pumpkins, and many more. And he's going to present a performance and a discussion called An Evening with Kenny Aronoff. It's coming up September 12th at 7:30 in the Schrott Center for the Arts over on Butler's campus. It's free. It's open to the public without tickets. You can find out more at schrottcenter.org, S-C-H-R-O-T-T, center.org. Kenny Aronoff, September 12th.
Awesome. Well, Sharon, that is all that we have, so let's go enjoy our Labor Day weekend.
Indeed.
Okay, and we'll be back next week with that calendar we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Here's a trivia question that will reveal the true Beatles fans among us. What's the name of the street where the Cavern Club is located in Liverpool? Well, if you said Matthew Street, you not only win a point, but you also understand why Sharon Gamble's next guest called himself Matthew Street for a series of concerts at the Phoenix Theater, September 5th through the 7th.
Gentlemen, I'd like you to introduce yourself with your real name and then the name of the musician whose role you will be interpreting at this series of events.
I'm Tom Ristein, playing John Lennon.
I'm Eric Olson. I will be interpreting Paul McCartney.
I'm Todd Reichman. I am Ringo.
All right. Fantastic. So if somebody's saying, wait a minute, aren't they one Beatles short of a blue plate special here, explain where your fourth is and why. Tom, I'm looking at you.
John Scofield is our George. As we speak, he's in Liverpool for the 11th time. He's had all those trips in the last few years in connection with the documentary his company has been co-producer of about Beatles tribute bands.
So my guess is that he was in the heartbeat the instant you said, hey, would you want to do this project with us?
John has fixed us into his busy schedule. He like several of us, are in multiple bands, but he thought this was too good an opportunity to miss.
Todd, how did you first experience the Beatles? Do you remember your first exposure to the Beatles?
I do. I was 8. My mother took me to see screenings of two of the movies, Hard Day's Night and Help, at the public library in San Diego, California, and it changed my life. And she took me home and gave me a record album to listen to on my dad's headphones, which I was forbidden to use most of the time.
Aww.
And I discovered songwriting and recording arts and music and singing and playing and all of that. And it just, I mean, that's why I do what I do today.
That totally set you on your career path, and explain what your day job is.
I'm the resident sound designer and head of audio at the Indiana Repertory Theater.
Where, so your parent, at least your mom was a fan, or was she just looking around for something that her son might enjoy?
My mom grew up with the Beatles, and she actually had most of the original pressings of the albums released in America, and she bequeathed them to me when I moved away. Cherished possession.
Fabulous. And Tom, your first exposure to the Beatles?
Well, I loved all their music and was thrilled when 1964 came around, and I had tickets and went to both of the concerts on 9/3/64, as well as the press conference afterwards. I was in a rock band before then, and
you were young, really young.
Well, I was, yes, I was young.
But
so
you
I
were
must
already
be at least 50 years old.
You were
old.
Already in a band.
Right, as was John Scofield. He was he's my age, and he was there at the Coliseum as well for the concerts. So I was thoroughly bit by the bug and have been playing dozens of Beatles songs on a regular basis ever since on every opportunity I get.
So your band that you were playing in at the time, singing and... guitar, singing, and piano. What were you playing?
Right,
at the time?
I was on guitar and singing. Because they are so rare, we couldn't do everything in the keys. But that's all been taken care of with Matthew Street, the band that's performing September 5 through 7. Because we have Eric Olson, who is a great tenor, and like any true Paul, he's left-handed.
Yeah, so Eric, you were exposed to the Beatles before these guys came to you and said, hey, you really rocked the house in all these musicals we've seen you in over the years. Would you consider doing this? But do you remember your first exposure to the Beatles?
I actually don't, because it goes back to before I have memory. Wow. I'm the youngest of 10 kids, and I was born literally within a couple of weeks of when the Beatles broke up. I know.
You're not the cause.
No, you know, Yoko and I'm a close second. But the Beatles were a way of life in my household for all of my brothers and sisters, and I really can't remember a time in my life that I didn't know every Beatles song and everything about them personally, not in a creepy way.
Yeah.
So it's been a lifelong passion.
So part of the oral wallpaper, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, wow, what an interesting cultural experience to be the youngest of 10 and to you're familiar with music that someone of your age might not be, simply because you got 9 older sibs.
Oh, yeah. I just grew up on everything that came out of the 60s and what I was hearing from them.
You know, you did some study to do this concert, and not just studying the music.
Well,
you learned a new instrument.
I did. When Tom came to me with the idea initially, I said, well, it sounds great and I'd love to do it. The only problem is I've never touched a bass guitar in my life. And I think his response was something, yeah, but you are left-handed. so we just said, okay, let's dive in.
And
so,
a guitar player.
Well, that's debatable. But so, yes. So I figured there's no better way for a really novice player to learn than try to copy the playing of one of the greatest players who's ever played. So there has been some time invested, but hopefully it will pay off for us, and we'll do him proud.
So, Todd, I got to ask you, because of what you do for a living, you have probably much more finely calibrated ears than most of our listeners or anybody else in this room even. Are you... with these performances, you're not trying to impersonate the Beatles.
Oh goodness, no!
You're interpreting.
I think that what we're doing in this project is we're staying pretty true to the original versions of the music. So it's not like we're doing wacky covers, which I've done in other bands, of Beatles tunes. No, I'm doing it because I love the music and I enjoy playing it and I want to be a part of this project. I don't have any designs on making it anything more than that.
Sure. It's,
I mean, this is fun for me.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, same idea. You're not like studying accents. You're not trying to necessarily deliver that phrase exactly the way it was delivered when you heard it at the fairgrounds.
Well,
when
we are who we are and what we are. No suits, no boots. We are focusing on, as Todd said, being true to the music.
Have you, and this is for any of you guys, have you been listening more to the tunes that are part of your set, the original recordings, or have you been kind of shutting yourself away from them so as not to have that temptation to try to mimic?
I listened to the original recordings that we're playing constantly because I learned best by sonic repetition and playing along with those. That's how it gets built into me. I can read music, but I'm a self-taught musician, so I play by ear. And so, yes, I listen to them constantly so that it's natural. I feel the changes rather than see them on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
It also helps me to listen to the band when we're playing together in case the dynamics are slightly different once through versus another time.
Mm-hmm. It really is sort of a different animal from listening to the music for pleasure. Even if you know the records very well, when you are suddenly tasked with following one instrumental part all the way through, you suddenly realize, I didn't listen to that as closely as I did. Or to get a harmony just right at a certain time. It does take a lot. I mean, these guys were good. And you have to really pay attention if you want to do it justice. You know,
sure.
That study, I think, is absolutely necessary.
You know, Eric was talking about learning how to play the bass. Learning to play the bass is one thing. Learning to play Paul McCartney bass while singing Paul McCartney, extraordinary. He's done an amazing job. I wouldn't be able to do it. It's amazing. It's very complex stuff that he did.
You are too kind.
Having good partners in crime helps, I'm sure.
And we've got terrific equipment. John Schofield has been a collector of guitars all his adult life, and we have the original Rickenbackers and Gretsches and Vox amps, so that we will come as close as we can to capturing the instrumental sound.
For your rehearsals, who are your ears out in the room listening for balance, or are you recording yourself and playing yourselves back? How are you getting that right? Are some spouses or screaming teenage girls being recruited to be the listeners?
We've been practicing in my recording studio, Lost Sound, up in Broad Ripple, and there are no real ears in the house. There are four of us in a room in my basement that's built into a recording studio, and you know it's not about how other people are hearing it while we're rehearsing. It's about what we're able to hear and how we can work with each other.
We each have monitors. Given Todd's been very generous in setting that all up, so that we can hear what everybody's up to, but we're close, and so we pretty much know what we're doing. We're going to be very serious, and Todd's taking the lead on this, about getting the balance right in our shows coming up.
Your set list, your playlist, is what the Beatles performed at that historic concert.
Right.
What's your favorite tune?
Oh, that's a tough one.
It's like picking your favorite child.
I know.
apples and oranges. I really can't say.
Did anything float into your head?
You know,
right
each
away?
One comes in a different way, and sometimes it's surprising. When you're packed with these great legendary songs, She Loves You, A Hard Day's Night, you know, you think great. But then suddenly we'll pull out, you know, a cover that they would play, like the song Boys, which just is this great groove that we just get to kick into, and that's when you realize how good they were, because they just play fast and hard, and you're sweating by the end of it, and you know why they did it. You know, it's a great time.
What surprised you most during this process?
I would go back to the earlier statement. What surprised me most is analyzing and dissecting the original or the individual parts of the musicians, and just realizing there's a lot of talk about Ringo on both sides of the spectrum.
Sure.
You know, but what he did was he was a pretty solid timekeeper, even though some of his rhythms weren't all that diverse at the time. But learning how to interact with the other parts in a room with live musicians rather than hearing it on a record through a stereo system, it's dissecting the music. It's really figuring out what it's all about and the individual contributions.
Mm-hmm. I think that part, especially the individual contributions, cannot be overstated with that band, how much each one of them brought to it. And in an interesting way, I think that's been sort of mirrored by our group. There's no question that, you know, as we began, and still, these other three guys, musically, instrumentally, were decades ahead of me, and still are, you know. I, you know, can just pick up instruments and go, you know. And, but then, you know, Tom made this earlier kind statement of, you know, not everyone can sing a harmony at that high place or something, you know. And so you find kind of your niche very much in the same way that the band did. And it's that gelling of parts that makes a greater whole, I think.
Yeah, we've been rehearsing now for, 9 months or some such thing. And I'm delighted and somewhat surprised that it's been fun at all times. And again, that we haven't gotten tired of the songs we're working on, because they are terrific. And to get the nuances right deserves your full attention.
Tom Ristein, Todd Reichman, and Eric Olson. You can see their band, Matthew Street, and its 50th anniversary celebration of the Beatles' 1964 performance at the Indiana State Fair. They'll be playing September 5th through the 7th. You can learn more and get your tickets to this very family-friendly show at phoenixtheater.org. Again, phoenixtheater.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. I'll get a preview of this year's Jazz Fest.
I'll chat with journalist David Hoppe about his new book.
And I'll learn about Fountain Fest at Garfield Park. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call What'll We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.